No, you go to the point.
But the least reasonable.
Go behind you?
Yes.
And me.
Go behind the both of us. And you guys. Just pass us just to Tom's left.
There you go.
You're on the podium. I think you found it.
It's up there on the podium. Look over there.
Good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Andrea Pitzenberger, and I am the program chair for BITS. And I want to welcome you all to What's New in Refreshable Braille. I know we all want to know about this. I want to encourage you all to come this afternoon to the vendor showcase. I also want to quickly remind you that our treasurer, Richard Villa, is here to take dues. If you would like to join BITS, if you would like to renew your membership, please see Richard. He can take dues today, he can take them tomorrow night at the mixer, he can take them on Tuesday at the luncheon. They're $20 for the year, and thank you for that. And I would like to turn the microphone over to our president, also second vice president of ACB, Mr. John McCann.
Thank you, and welcome to everyone in the room. This is really a great crowd, and I have my program committee to thank. We had scheduled another session, and then what happened was CSUN. And when CSUN happened, we realized there was a bumper crop of awesome Braille devices that had come to the market and that were about to come to the market, and then they would be featured here. And we felt that we would seize the opportunity as ACB's premier special interest affiliate for techies. It is great to see as many of you here as are, and we're going to go around the room with a mic and so you can all introduce yourselves so I can know who's here. BITS has a kick butt program this year, and I hope that I'll see many of you at the mixer, because we don't just educate, we also adjust. Well, I didn't want to use that word for reasons that don't, you know. You're all big boys and girls in there, so we're not going there. Okay, without further ado, I'm going to ask our esteemed Ms. Terrence Horvath to waltz the mic around so that we all know who's here.
Okay, we'll start right here in the front. Tom?
I'm Tom Jones, and I'm the secretary of BITS.
Andrea Pitzenberger, vice president and program chair for BITS.
Jerry Coons, guest speaker.
And I'm Terry Horvath, a mic runner.
Hi, I'm William Freeman. I'm software quality assurance at APH.
I'm Tina Ektermanis from Colorado.
Richard V. Amita, past president, treasurer of BITS.
David Tanner, Minnesota.
Doug Hunsinger, Pittsburgh, PA.
Renee Zellickson, member and also president of Government Employees.
Kitty Hebener from Cincinnati, Ohio. Go Bengals.
Go Kitty.
Not enticing anything, but it's
Marty Kuhn, a member of BITS and the Saturday Night Eternal Chat, and a roommate of The Runner.
I'm Gilbert Bush. I work in the music section at NLS.
Mike O'Brien, BITS member, Troy, New York, and also another perpetual Saturday Night BITS Tech phone session member. Participant.
Michael Zakin, Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Judy Zakin, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Valerie Standard, Kansas City, Missouri.
Susan Thompson, Sydney, Australia, BITS member.
Yay, Susan.
Sharon Strakowski, Worcester, Massachusetts.
Okay. Rick Wilkinson, Sarasota, Florida.
Mindy Evans, Indianapolis, Indiana, and go Colts.
Frank Welty, BITS member.
Yes.
Hey, Frank.
Gigi Firth, Dallas, Texas.
Mike Hartwig, Wisconsin.
Jane Lund, Bloomington, Minnesota. Sandy Rukinich, Salt Lake City, Utah. Shannon Ramsey, Sacramento, California, and my heart really goes out to the Warriors.
We're sorry.
Paul Hunt, Austin, Texas, has been a future member of a retired IRS employee with about 25 years of IT experience.
Jim Benham, and I'm going to show my, from Watertown, Massachusetts, I'm going to show my loyalty by giving my Twitter name, which is Boston Packer Fan.
Frank Huda, Washington State.
Michael Malver, Minneapolis.
Jackie Boomstra, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hey, I know you.
All right, Jesse Anderson from Minnesota here. And of course, the correct answer is go Vikings. We've been denied far too long.
So have we. All right.
And that's the news from the sporting organization here.
That's everybody.
All right. So do I enter?
Oh, should I just?
Yeah, just use it,
Dave.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll just give it to you.
There you go. I'm going to say go Niners because I have to say that before I say anything else.
I was going to say the Mets beat the Cubs.
Okay, I'd like to introduce our first speaker. This is Andrea again, by the way. And I'd like to introduce our first speaker, who is Jerry Coons from Humanware.
Should I just hand him the podium?
Or you can go to the podium.
Yeah. Come on around, Jerry.
Jerry, I'm thinking the podium's best. Yeah.
Behind me and then to your right.
All
right. There you go. Right there in front of you. There should be a microphone.
Right here, you can move around wherever you want. Very good. Okay. Okay, how's this for Mike? Everybody
lean in
hear me?
Eat it a little more. Just eat it. Let's move
it's,
yeah, we're working on it.
We're working on it.
There. Oh, I can't bend over and get on my knees to talk to a low mic. I have to have it brought up to my level.
Terry can
stretch it.
Let me
see.
Get the pops out of this holder. Well, it's in there pretty solid.
Yeah.
I don't see a way to get
this
it.
Is, this is a little bit better. How's that? That work for y'all?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's good.
Thank you for having Humanware talk about some new tools that are available today. I am an old retread employee of Humanware, working today as a consultant to Humanware to introduce their latest product, the Braille Note Touch. in addition to the Braille Note Touch, they do offer a variety of brilliant Braille displays. I have with me here a 32 cell, and I would like to pass this device around the room for people to take a quick check on. And it's just a slave Braille display, no note-taking capabilities, but you may be interested in the size of it, the shape of it. They come in 24, 32, and 40 cell models.
You talking about the Brilliant or the Braille Note Touch?
Brilliant.
Okay.
And in a few minutes, we'll have another Braille Note Touch in the room that we'll be able to pass around. I'm going to do a little work with mine to introduce it to you, and then I'll pass it around too. Who's out here?
Yeah, Renee. Yeah.
Okay,
right here.
Okay, so if you'll keep the case and the Brilliant
yes.
together,
okay.
You're welcome to take it out and take a look at it.
So it's just a slave.
That's just a slave Braille display.
Okay.
Is it on? Can you turn it on?
You're welcome to turn it on. I did not.
The button's on the right.
So, while I'm getting my Braille Note Touch set up here, I'll tell you a little bit about the device. It's a Google-certified device, and the exciting thing about that is it allows third-party apps to be run on it, and if those third-party apps have been compliant with the Google Access standards, they should run on the Braillian, or excuse me, on the Braille Note Touch. And that's pretty exciting to have a mainstream device that can go to the Google Play Store and actually work with third-party apps. I have been working with the Touch for about 2 months, and by no means do I consider myself a computer expert. I've played with computers for the last 40 years, but I hate the damn things. I tolerate them. I work with all kinds of adaptive technology and have for many, many years, but a long time ago, one of my employees said to me, "Jerry, you'll never learn anything more about a computer than you absolutely have to use." And that proved to be correct. I tolerate them, but I don't love them. But what they do for me as devices, I really do enjoy and enjoy using them. Let me see if I can get
10:17. Sunday, July 3rd. Unlock button. Key web. This connection is untrusted. Heading level 1 untrusted connection.
An open connection, I guess. It's missed.
Main menu.
Okay, can you all hear that?
Yeah.
Contacts. Key list.
One of the things that has come as a result of moving to the Android system, of course, a cappella voice is present, but one can put in other speech engines. One can download, for instance, Eloquence from the Play Store and put that in if one prefers that voice. There are a variety of other voices that are working with the Touch now, and it's supporting up to about 15 foreign languages. The Android system has
email
allowed all of the common or familiar applications in KeySoft to run as apps in the Android system. The KeySoft has been completely rewritten to operate within the Android system, but it retained its very familiar navigation, keystrokes, first letter navigation, and context sensitive help, along with a new help process that to me reminds me very much of the application key on a PC, and it gives you immediate functions that you can perform, and then Space H gives you much broader help in the system. I never liked Keymail in the KeySoft suite of products. I tolerated that, and I used my Gmail from the Apex using just Gmail and basic navigation through the Apex. I got along with that fine for years. But since Keymail has been rewritten, it works so much better than trying to access Gmail with a screen reader that I'm finding I really like it. Key Web is no longer an old purpose-built browser, but it truly is a Firefox browser now. And I find it very easy to use. Again, it's kind of overlaid by the KeySoft keystrokes, so everything I'm navigating in whatever application, I feel like I'm using a screen reader and other applications. Keyword is writing in DOCX file format, or RTF or DOC, but the default is DOCX format. It is not creating a Braille file. It is writing on the fly from Braille to print. Key List, the context database, Key Plan, the planner, synchronizes with Keymail and with Google Calendar, and it's kind of funny, when I first started using this device, I went to look in my contact database and, oh my, all my Gmail contacts had just populated my Key List, and I was delightfully surprised that I didn't have to put data in by hand. The unit has a conventional 9-key keyboard. One can flip the keyboard up and out of the way and have a touch screen. The touch screen has a virtual Braille keyboard. When you put all 10 fingers on to calibrate it, you get a small vibration. And let's see if I can actually do this
Sunday,
in front
July
of the group.
3rd, 10:22 a.m.
So I'm putting all my 10 fingers on this device. I got a little teeny vibration. I'm going to do a U for unlock, maybe.
Unlock button.
Unlock button. I'm hitting my right pinky finger
device
on the screen.
Main menu.
Like the enter key, and I'm at the main menu. Now, I can do first letter navigation. I've always loved KeySoft for this. I can do a W.
Word processor, keyword.
I'll press enter.
Keyword did not leave properly last session. Do you want to open the recovery file to save it or discard it?
That's because we were at the demo booth, of course. I'll discard it.
Keyword menu.
And now I'll do a C for create.
Create.
And I'm doing this on the glass. I'm not using a standard keyboard. Enter.
Loading. Please wait 3 period.
I have an edit box here.
End of document.
And I'll just write capital
dot
T
six,
sign
one,
space.
4, 5, 6. This.
I S space A T E S T
the
capital B R L capital N O T E space T O U sign C sign period.
2, 5, 6. Touch.
End. The sentence reads
top.
Oops.
A.
Oh yes, A. I'll backspace over that.
Space deleted.
So
top. This is a test of the Braille Note Touch.
Written on glass. So it.
He did it.
It. It was funny for me at first when I became a beta tester for the Braille Note for HumanWare about 3 months ago. My unit came without a keyboard. And that's because, you know, we were testing equipment for the company that wasn't ready for release. We were trying to break KeySoft in every way we could. We were trying to break the touch in every way we could to kind of make sure that at release it would be a good solid product for the end user. So I had the privilege of working the Braille Note Touch from the glass screen for 2 months. I became fairly proficient at writing. I became quite proficient with email, with internet searches, just from the glass. I often leave my keyboard case at home. It weighs about a pound or so. It surrounds the touch unit. And I often, when I go off, just throw the touch unit in my backpack. So when I pull it out at a coffee shop or at the library or wherever I happen to be to look something up on the internet, I'm writing on the glass. And I'm perfectly happy with it. Some people don't want to do that. That's perfectly fine. I have started learning how to explore web pages. I turn off the touch braille, and it turns the screen into a typical screen Android off. Touch screen that I can swipe and tap and click and explore and find out what actual screens look like. And it's pretty unique and pretty fun. And I haven't had the opportunity to spend much time at all doing third-party Android apps, although some of the beta testers are using third-party apps and testing them. Most of our jobs have been focused on really concentrating on making sure KeySoft is as solid as possible before the release of the product 3 weeks ago. They did start shipping. The things that I have pulled out of the Play Store, I pulled out a HP ePrint app so I can air print from the touch to an air printer. I have a Bluetooth app that I pulled out for HP printers, giving me more flexibility when I'm at home. I don't have an air printer at the moment, so I'm running a Bluetooth printer when I'm at home. It does cloud print. It does store to docs. It does work with Drive. And I was looking at the product manager, Greg Stilson's Braille Note when we were at CSUN. And he had about 60 apps on his Braille Note. And I said, Greg, are you testing all these? Are you checking them for accessibility? He says, oh, no, I threw all the ones that didn't work away. Those are the ones that work. So HumanWare is now constructing a list, and anybody who's a touch user can fill in a form and define the application that they've tested and whether it's been successful and if they can navigate it and use it fully. I know that some people are doing Skype. I know that some people are using Hangouts. I know that some people are testing KNFB Reader. I know that some other things are going on, and HumanWare is constructing a public list of all of the working apps. At this point, are there any questions?
Yes, I have a question.
Quick question.
Wait, we need a mic, right?
Yes. We want everybody
one person
to...
before Tina. Forget
yeah, Renee.
Renee. Oh, okay. How did I miss that voice?
Yes, okay. How could you? I don't know, John.
I don't know. Tell me about it.
I can take a mic over.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you do it. Good. Okay.
Yes. So, it's not on.
Yeah, there's a button.
Oh,
there's a button.
When
the button
is pressed. Okay, thank you. As a low vision user, yes, I do use Braille, and I was just thinking about the iPad. Does that unit have a camera in it, or can you visually use it to take pictures or visually see people on Skype or FaceTime? Also, can you run Netflix, things of that nature on it? So in other words, it seems like it's my answer to how can I have Braille on the fly so that I can read and write, but then I also want to make use of my vision, and I do play games on the iPad.
that don't read with voiceover, so I can see colors and stuff. Is there anything to that for the low vision people? And I guess I'm in the minority because maybe there's not a lot of low vision people that use Braille, but I happen to use it and support it.
Very good. Renee, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Renee, I can answer some of your questions properly. Kevin, are you in the room? Okay, Kevin Hughes, the HumanWare regional salesperson, is not in the room, so I'll do my best to answer some of your questions. First, there is a camera, and the camera has lights. The camera is going through Google certification at this time. I have been told that the camera is not active in the current unit. It will be in a software upgrade, they say, released by September. I have understood that when the camera is implemented, one will be able to take pictures and file them in the photo gallery. One will be able to use it for OCR applications that meet the Google certification standards. They are working on some controls for the KNFB reader at this time, but that is not released for OCR purposes yet. I have seen a couple of other OCR products that run in Android. Some bright young people are starting to test those third-party apps. Games, the unit has a 7-inch screen under the 9-inch, 9.5, almost 10-inch glass surface. The 7-inch screen is bright, high contrast. I believe it's an HD screen. There is an HDMI port in the back of this unit, so one can plug this into an external HDMI monitor or projector and display whatever is on this small 7-inch screen very nicely on a full screen, however big it is. And we were doing a presentation a couple of weeks ago on a 52-inch display. So the answer is that what is on the tablet for some people can be seen, but one can plug a large screen into it and see whatever they can see on that display.
Tina was next, or?
Yes, she was.
I have a couple questions. The first of which is, what version of Android is it running?
It's running KitKat.
Okay.
Excuse me? I didn't hear.
Running KitKat.
KitKat, okay. And then with your explanation of hooking up a large display to this, is there any future plans for things like a PowerPoint-like presentation app?
It supports slides. Now, and whatever apps one can find that are accessible can be run on this device. So,
is that accessible? What, slides?
Slides works now.
Okay. Thank you.
I want to comment on KitKat. KitKat was chosen, realized that the development cycle for a product and for rewriting the software has taken about 3.5 years. They chose KitKat 2 years ago as their platform because the hooks for accessibility were there. And when Lollipop was new, the APIs, the hooks, did not work consistently, so they did not choose to write to Lollipop. Now, Marshmallow has been released just a few, couple of months ago, right around CSUN time. They are not, right, they are not going to rewrite KeySoft every time Google comes out with a new operating system upgrade. At some point in the future, maybe 2 or 3 years from now, they will upgrade and rewrite the software to run on the new operating system to take advantage of the more modern hooks that will be put in for accessibility and the more modern features of the operating system. But for a small company, to standardize and choose a platform that was stable was more important to HumanWare and the end user than keeping up with the current operating system. Also, Google has told us that over 50% of the world is operating on older than KitKat as an operating system with their products. So it's not like it's way out of date, it's just not the current version.
But it will be the current version eventually.
KitKat will be used for the next 2 or 3 years, and then they will move up to the current operating system that is available through Google. They have had a really great working relationship with Google. Google has learned a lot about accessibility from the HumanWare team that they've been working with, because as good as Google is and as much energy as they've put into accessibility, it's not always efficiency that they've thought of.
We have a few questions here if you'd like to answer them. We've got some hands up.
Sometime pretty soon we're going to have to move.
Yeah, we're going to have to
move on.
Or are you going to open break for questions in just a minute? We just had a lot of hands come up, so I think you'd have points people who are interested in talking.
Okay.
Just a second here, I'll pass the mic.
How much time do you have?
I'd like to spend about another 5 minutes, if we could.
Yeah, 5 minutes, and we're going to have to move to other presenters, to be fair to them.
And I will stick around.
Okay. Well, what do we got time here to do, guys? You want to answer some?
One or two questions.
Yeah,
one
we got, let's questions. Take one or two questions and we'll go from there.
Okay.
Yeah, hi, Jerry. Ron Smith from Chatsworth.
Hey.
I just had a question for those that really techno geeks who want to try it. Is it possible to then run a dual operating system version of the Android? You could turn off the, you know, the keys off version and then, you know, put load a updated Android on there and play around with that if you want.
It is a fully operating Android device. I don't know the answer to that question, but I would assume so, but it would probably break KeySoft.
Oh, okay, so you can't switch back and forth then, you don't think?
I have no idea if you could run two operating systems on the Android device simultaneously.
Okay. Well, no, not at the same time. If there's some way of, like a dual boot or something like that, boot into the other Marshmallow and then go back.
That would be tricky.
Okay.
More tricky than running VMware.
One more question.
Firmware changes happen.
It's different.
So I'm definitely dating myself by telling you this, but I made it through college 25 years ago running a screen reader called MasterTouch, which might ring a bell.
Oh, yeah.
Is there any thought, since you can run Android apps on this thing, for those of us who maybe can't afford the tablet, of releasing just the screen reader component as a purchasable item?
That question I have, it's out of my classification. We'd have to ask the product manager at HumanWare that question. My belief is that it will be some time before HumanWare takes on another development project of this scale and the Prodigy that they've undertaken on the Android tablet for low vision use, which is also at the HumanWare booth 34, 35, and 36. So if you're interested in low vision devices or in Braille devices, you should come down to the booth and check things out, and there might be some more knowledgeable people there then. than I. I am not an employee of the company. I am a consultant, so I don't have privy to all the information.
Tell us your exhibit booth number, if you would.
34, 35, okay. And 36.
For those who didn't have the thing,
the I time just... to, yeah. It's 10:40. I'm going to suggest we move.
Yeah, I think we have to move. Right.
Thank you.
To our next presenter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Is Bill Freeman here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, take it away, Bill.
When the session is over, I will be up here in the front of the room. I will have this Braille No Touch for people who can't wait to get to the booth to get their hands on it.
Here's the brilliant too.
Thank you very much.
You've got a handful here. I'll hold it for a second. Why don't you go ahead? I can take it. Thanks for mentioning. Okay.
Hello. How's everyone doing?
Good.
My name is William Freeman. I'm from the American Printing House for the Blind. What I've come here today to do is talk about the Orbit Reader 20. And the Orbit Reader 20 was brought about because of the efforts of Kevin Carey and the Transforming Braille Group, which he put together. And what they noticed was Moore's Law, the idea that technology gets smaller, faster, and cheaper over time, had not really been taking place in the world of refreshable Braille. And so what they did was they sort of had a contest to see who could come up with the best, most inexpensive way to create refreshable Braille. And Orbit Research won that contest, and that is how we got the Orbit Reader 20. It uses, for the most part, off-the-shelf parts. So even though right now we're looking at a $500 price point, we actually expect that price to come down over time, just as it does with all technology, all other technology. And what I think is really great about the Orbit Reader 20, and what I think represents the future of refreshable Braille, is the collaboration that it took to bring it about. I don't think any of our organizations are large enough to tackle the problems that we have on our own. And so we have to come together like we did with the Orbit Reader, and that's how we'll solve the problems. So let me talk a little bit about the Orbit Reader, and then I'll pass it around. It's a refreshable Braille display and note taker. It has an SD card slotted, supports up to 64 gigs. It's a little bulky, it's kind of designed with a utilitarian purpose, but its dimensions are, if I can find them in my notes, it's 6 inches wide, 4 inches deep, and just over an inch tall. And this is just the first one. You know, what's magical about this thing isn't the plastic case around it, it's the cells inside. And so we can use those cells to make other models in the future. Yes, it's a 20-cell display, 8-dot 20-cell display. It has a Bluetooth, HID, and serial connection, so a USB connection, so you can connect it to your phone or tablet. And then also, it works as a note taker. And I'll now pass this around.
Wow. Is it a note taker, you said?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
And the other interesting thing that we're trying to do with the Orbit Reader is we're trying to make it discoverable. Because a big part of our purpose with the Orbit Reader is to sell it in third world countries. We want to make Braille as available to as many people as possible. And so there's not going to be necessarily a case where that person's going to be able to Google a solution to their problem. So we're trying to make all the features as discoverable as possible. And we've gotten a lot of input from users about what that works for them and what doesn't. And so that's one of our big goals. Back to the idea of collaboration, though. Are any of you familiar with LibLui? It's an open source Braille translation, forward and back translation software that's available online. That's an example of collaboration. That's a bunch of groups working together to make all the Braille codes have a repository and a system that works. And have you heard of the Knut? Are they going to be here? I don't want to steal their thunder.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. The Knut is another example of the future of refreshable Braille. It's a five-line Braille display. Is it 8 now? Okay.
So kind of a mini-page Braille display.
Their goal is to cost as much as a Perkins Braille writer. They're still in the testing phase. It's a little slow and it's a little heavy, but it gets faster and lighter all the time. So, I mean, that leads us, I think, to the ultimate goal of a full-page Braille display. And I think that's what we all want. Because the cost of Braille isn't even really the translation. It's the cost of, it costs a lot more to print it than people believe. I mean, you have to have the materials tested, and then the printing and the shipping. So if you can take that out of the equation, and then you add in translation software such as Braille Blaster, which utilizes LibLui to translate NIMUS files. That's something we're working on at American Printing House for Blind. So that brings down the cost of translation, and then you have a full-page Braille display, so now you don't have to pay for the paper. And Braille suddenly is available as print, which is, I think, the goal. And, of course, there's people working on tactile graphics displays. And, I mean, this is just a really exciting time to be involved with Braille and with technology. I don't really have a whole lot else to say, but I'll be happy to take any questions.
Yeah.
Besides the price point, say between the Orbit and say your refreshable, I mean, the refresher Braille that you have.
Mm-hmm.
What feature differences are there? What amenity differences are there, if any, in those two units?
Okay, that's a good question. As far as features go, they're pretty much the same. The only main differences I can think of are the dots are more firm on the Orbit reader. They've been compared to the dots you'll find on like a sign in a hotel. You press on them and they don't go down, which I think, you know, is definitely a plus. And then the only downside, the only thing we had to compromise is the Orbit reader at the moment does not have router keys. But like I said, this is the first of its kind, and we're definitely, we're looking into having router keys in future models. So those are the only two main differences. As far as Bluetooth, they have the exact same Bluetooth functionality. They work with the same set of, JAWS, NVDA, Windows, all your PC screen readers, iOS and Android. So, I mean, those are all the same. And the Orbit reader is a note taker, whereas the Refresh Braille is not.
Second question, with the Orbit, the one that's a note taker, can you use common apps such as PowerPoint or Excel or anything like that with it?
Not at the moment. It is a very basic note taker. It saves, it can read .doc, .text, rich text files, and BRFs. But right now, all it does is it will save a text file. So, but we definitely, we've tried to design it so that we can add apps like that. We can add functionality like that in the future. We just, for this very first one, we wanted to focus on the price because we wanted to make it available to as many people as possible. So.
You're not on the mic, Tom.
That's better. I'm just a little confused. Can you clarify for me, is this the low-cost Braille display that was developed by the International Consortium, or is this another device?
Yeah, it is the Transforming Braille Group, which you refer to as the International Consortium. It was an international group, people all over the world, so.
I was wondering if you guys are planning to like package this device with an actual case, or is it just going to come as we see it at the booth?
Orbit is making a case for it. I don't think by default it will come with the case, but when you order it, you could order a case as well. And we're also looking into executive products making third-party cases.
Oh, yeah.
Terry, I have a question.
Yes. It sounds, this is Judy Firth from Dallas. It sounds like you're going in the direction that I personally would want,
Except you guys have plans to make a 40-cell display, because I do Braille proofreading, and I have to have 40. And I don't need a whole bunch of apps. All I can just, you know. And also, does it also write BRF files? Because I need that too.
Okay, that's an interesting question. We're still developing the software. And so I'm the tester, and I make the tickets, and then Orbit goes and works on the tickets. So I could definitely put in a ticket requesting the ability to save a file as a BRF. Yeah. So that's something, you know, especially if people want it, that's something we can definitely look into.
What about 40 cells?
And yes, as far as more cells, like I said, this is just the first one, and we are looking at a 40-cell, more robust note-taking capabilities, more apps, router keys. Like, we're looking at lots of other options. I mean, as you add that stuff, the cost goes up. It'll still be cheaper than an equivalent display with the old technology. But it's definitely something we're looking into. We want to release the first one and get that out there as soon as we can.
Maybe like $1,500. I do have one. Okay, thank you.
Hi, it's Jim Enum. First of all, thank you to ABH for all the great work you guys have done on this. Quick questions. Do you guys have an estimated ship date? And also, is it going to be on quota?
Yes, it. As far as I know, it will be on quota, and we are looking at a ship date in the fall. We don't have an exact date yet. Like I said, we're still working on the software and the hardware. We actually have a new prototype that has different keys than the ones that you see there. They're clickier and they're more tactile. We all like them a lot better, and we think you will too. But there aren't very many of those prototypes available, so I couldn't bring it.
So I understand this is a prototype, and your answer could change before it ships. But at the moment, what kind of battery life are you getting? What kind of, if somebody uses this, what can they expect?
You can expect it to last the full workday for sure. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I know it will last definitely like 8 to 12 hours.
Oh, that's amazing.
Hello, this is Eric out of Seattle here. I was wondering if you guys would ever maybe support either MathXML or MathML, and maybe support of any kind of LaTeX support.
In the Orbit Reader?
Yeah, the Orbit Reader, because I could see where, suppose you gotta read some documentation, and maybe you have to have an equation editor or something like that. I could use that.
Yeah, that's definitely something we could look into for a future model. We definitely want to get this out in the fall, so it's probably too late to add something like that. I know this is about refreshable Braille, but this is related, I believe. That's something we're doing with Braille Blaster, which is a Braille translation software that uses XML files, and it can read MathML, and it also, we're working on a math editor that uses both something similar to LaTeX and also 6-key entry that can then be back translated into MathML. It's something we've just started working on, but.
Okay. Well, answer questions.
I have one.
Oh, good.
Okay.
I was just curious. Maybe you said this and I didn't hear it. Two quick things. Does the note taker have an SD card slot, and does it have what kind of onboard memory does it have? I assume it's pretty limited, but if you can save files to it, it must have some.
There's not really any onboard memory. The onboard memory is saved just for the firmware, but you can put an SD card in it. It'll ship with an SD card. At least from APH, it'll ship with an SD card with files already on it. And I think it supports up to 64 gigs.
Okay. Thank you.
My question is, are the batteries usable, user replaceable, and what kind does it run on?
Yes, the batteries are user replaceable. That's something I don't have right in front of me. I'm sorry. As far as what type of battery, but I can show it to you after the.
Wow, cool.
After the discussion.
Bill?
Yes, sir.
Will the device be compatible with both Android and iOS platforms on its release?
Yes, sir. It's compatible right now in its beta form.
And also, a small thing, but like when you power on,
will you have eventually have like little tones that will, you know, you saw, like in other words, the only way we know now that it's powered on is from the display. But will you have various tones to indicate various things?
That's not planned at the moment. Working the booth, I've heard a lot of people ask about speaker support and voice. And so maybe that's something we can look into for a future release. But, you know, right now it doesn't make any noise other than the actual Braille refreshing.
Yeah, like clicking the registers.
I'm wondering about whether you could incorporate any help into it. So that there's a little bit of tutorial in it about the use.
Yes, that was something that was requested at the booth, actually. And so when I go back, I'm going to talk to Venkatesh about that. He's the CEO of Orbit, Venkatesh Chari. So that's definitely something we're going to look into. It's certainly going to come with the documentation on the SD card. So you won't need an internet connection to access the documentation.
Yeah. I'll let this go. Before ahead of the game.
I just want to see it.
Just a second here.
It hasn't been moving.
It's on this row right here.
It's coming.
Do you want this for, okay, so for when you mentioned about the clicky keyboard, the one that I, you know, when you're passing around seems to have quite a bit of click already. Is there any chance you could make the key movement more like the space bar for all the keys? Because the space bar is kind of nice and kind of cushy, and you know when it's up and down, and it doesn't make a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. When I say clickier, I mean the feel of it. They're not noisy keys, but we think you'll like what we've worked out here. I know the Braille Plus 18 is a sour subject for APH, but one of the things that was good about the Braille Plus 18 were the keys. It did have good keys, and so we've tried to have similar keys to what we had there.
So it's been a really low profile one.
Yeah.
Is there a backspace?
Well, hold on. Yeah, on the mic.
Yeah, there's a .7 and .8 that also function as backspace and enter. And then there's a directional button in the middle of the six keys that has an enter in the middle of it, and then up, down, left, right. And then there's advance and retreat bars on either side of the Braille. And then the latest, the model you all have just has one button on either side of the Braille. So one on the left, one on the right. The prototype that we have right now, each of those has an up and down function. So there's four keys on either side.
Doesn't have a micro USB slot?
No, just regular.
Yes, it has a micro USB to connect to PC or Mac.
Charge.
And to charge as well, yes, sir. And it uses an SD card, but you can also use a micro SD if you fit it inside, you know, the SD cards that you can fit a micro SD inside. So
adapter.
Yeah, the adapters, yes, thank you.
Yeah, please wait till I get my wife to them, because
it won't show. Is the display out there somewhere? I'd like to see it.
Just a second. Here, if you're asking something, get on the mic.
No, I just wanted to know if the display was still going around. I haven't seen it.
Okay, hang on.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
It's migrating around.
Okay.
I was wondering, will you be able to hook regular flash drives up to get data off of these on this display? Thanks.
You mean?
Will be our last question for now.
Okay. Yes. Right now, it just has the SD card, and then you can use that SD card to transfer files to and from your computer. So, if that's what you mean.
No.
I'm sorry, maybe I misunderstood.
Can you put a flash drive in the device to work with files?
If I understand your question, then I would say no. It's just the SD card to work with files. And I think that was the last question for now.
Lisa, we want to see who else is here, the presenters. National Braille Press. Who else?
VFO. I think it's William, right? I forgot to ask, y'all said it works with iOS devices. Will it hook up as a Braille display, say, I have a Macintosh computer, I have a MacBook Pro?
Yes, we're working on Mac support right now, so Yes, I do believe that will be possible.
And also, can you update it on your MacBook Pro?
That gets a little more problematic.
Well, I have it on. I have one that I can do it on. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. Let me talk to Venkatesh, and I can give you my email address, and we can talk about that. Maybe if you're willing, maybe you can help us test it.
We need to ask who of the presenters are in the room.
Screen locked.
National Brow Press, are they here?
Or Freedom Scientific?
Well, maybe we can continue that if they don't want to show up. I'm trying to be fair to all the presenters, but if they're not here, hey.
Is Hims here? No? Okay.
No Hims, no MVP, no VFO.
I talked to all of them yesterday.
All right, well, hey.
What? Were there any other questions, or it looks like we have some more time if there were more
yeah,
questions.
Yeah, we do.
So,
any other questions?
Is someone passing around a Braille Touch?
We can if we don't have other presenters going on. It'd be fine with me.
Appreciate that. Looks like there's a question.
Okay, good. Actually, a couple of questions. Maybe you said it and I missed it, but how are you connecting to your different devices, Android or iOS, or can you also connect to a regular computer so that I could use it as a Braille display, let's say?
Yes, it has a HID, human interface device, and serial connection, yeah, so a USB connection to PC. Your computer, and then a Bluetooth connection to your tablet or phone.
Okay.
So Android, Windows phone, and...
Okay. And my other question is, you were talking about this 8-line Braille device.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Where is it? Is it available at the convention?
I don't believe it's at the convention. It's being developed by Bristol Braille, and they're in the UK, so I don't think they get to make it to all of our conventions.
Got it. Okay.
And they're a nonprofit as well. But I did get to see it, and I saw it at the ICEB, and it's really an amazing device. It refreshes, like I said, it refreshes a little slow. It's completely new cell technology, but it's 8 lines. I believe it's. I don't think it's 40 cells.
No, I think it's 32.
Yes, 32.
Okay.
But it is. It's really nice. And it's really exciting.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Freeman, let me have a mic for just one second.
I was just going to say, this is Jerry Koontz, and I'm going to pass around two Braille Note Touches. They're turned off right now, and one is in the case with the keyboard, the other is just the unit itself without the keyboard, so it's just the glass and the Braille display.
Jerry, I didn't get to see the keyboard when you had it, so
I'd like to see it too.
Okay,
I'll start this.
Okay. And then this one.
Yes,
this mic doesn't come out.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
Terry?
In front of you.
Yes. Terry?
Yes?
I'd like to see...
Yeah, either way.
Yeah. Let me turn it on. It's in the it's at the back right now.
Okay, I was going to ask William Freeman if he would give us some discussion as the Refresh Braille 18 that was out years ago has had a facelift, and maybe he could talk a little bit about it. I don't know if he has one of those, but I wanted to give him an opportunity to talk about that.
Jerry?
Okay, thanks. Okay. Right. We do have a new version of the Refresh Braille 18 that's available for sale at the booth. We're at booths 21 and 20, I believe. We're right near the entrance, and I don't have one with me, unfortunately, but what we did is we changed the D-pad on it because we noticed with the old D-pad, if you used it one-handed, it would slide across the table, and the new one does not do that. That would be a great subtitle for the Refresher Braille. Now no longer slides on the table. It also has better Bluetooth technology so that you get a better connection, a quicker connection, and you can also switch between secure pairing and simple pairing. So with the simple pairing, it'll pair automatically. Just you double click on the device that you want it to pair with, and then it initiates pairing, and then it pairs. With the secure pairing, it displays a code both on the refresher braille and on the device that you want to pair with, and you have to agree to pair on both devices. And there's a 30-second time limit on that, and the reason for the time limit is that is the time limit that iOS devices give you. And so we had to do something so that it wouldn't just stay in that mode if you ignored it. It also has the ability to reverse the panning buttons, so that if you want to read with your right hand and advance with the left hand, you can reverse the panning buttons so that they... And we also changed... I get these confused all the time. We changed it, I believe, from a mini USB to a micro USB. And while we still have the recessed USB, which people don't really like, even though it does prevent the USB from snapping while it's inside the device, but with the new USB connection, it's much easier, much, much easier to get the USB into the device. It really does. You just face it the right direction, and then it goes right in. We're really proud of that, and we spent a lot of time on the software to make sure this update was worth it for everyone. Were there any questions about the Refresher Braille 18?
What's become of Levelstar?
I believe Levelstar, I believe they no longer exist as a company.
Shark's going to.
They've been leveled, okay.
They've been leveled. This needs to be circulated.
It's like a little...
I can't believe the other people are here.
That's amazing, because everybody confirmed.
They confirmed?
Uh-huh.
They can see it more.
They confirmed yesterday.
Okay, appreciate
you. I bought one, I was excited.
Well, these guys are getting more exposure.
Can somebody get a microphone over there?
I didn't need the deck out before.
She's asking about the I'd like to see
Is it, that's new, right?
It is new, but they're not here.
So now that I got to look at the Orbit, it seems to have like a 6-dot keyboard, but it seems to have an 8-dot display. So where are the other 2 dots coming from?
No, it has dot 7 and 8. They're on the either side of the spacebar.
Computer code.
Yeah, it does have dot 7 and 8. So, and it's an 8-dot display with an 8-dot keyboard. So.
Yes, there are 2 Braille Note Touches coming around. One is out of the case, so you see the screen and Braille display only. The other has a keyboard.
Oh, this is cool. Wow, that's totally cool.
Are the keys part of the case? The keys are.
You mean on the touch? No, the keyboard is hinged.
It's hinged to the device itself. Okay, that's what I'm asking. I didn't really get a chance to see that part of the case. I didn't, But I like the feel of the keys on that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's good.
It's different.
You're still using your YouTube.
I love my YouTube.
If you don't have any more questions, we have 2 Orbit readers at our booth. And I'll be at the booth, all week. If anybody wants to come by and ask questions or wants to spend more time with the display, I know you don't get a whole lot of time if you're passing it.
Is the Orbit still going around?
The one Orbit, the one touch braille.
No, I was wondering about the Orbit.
Yeah, it's still going around.
Okay, that's fine. It's in Orbit.
Yeah.
Thank you, Will.
Thank you.
Didn't work at all.
So I can take other questions if...
at this point...
So...
You guys are...
Any other vendors in the room? No other vendors at this point? So I'll take questions for...
We need a mic, guys.
Braille Note Touch?
Yeah, he's coming around to the podium.
I'm walking to the podium. I'll take questions for the Braille Note Touch, if there are any.
Yeah.
But it's going around the room.
There are two Braille Note Touches going around the room now, one with a keyboard, one without the keyboard.
You have too much talking. All right. How is this clear?
Somebody want the mic or?
Somebody did back here. I can help with carrying it around. The
Did anybody have a question? I have the mic here.
Yeah, far back.
Way back? Okay.
I'm going to hand it to the fellow that has a question. Actually, I have two. One is, what is the battery life on the device? And the second is, what ports for external media are there on the device? What types?
Okay, so, first, battery life with the screen on. Battery life with the screen on is approximately 8 hours a day. I charge it every night like I do my iPhone. But when I'm working for 7 or 8 hours, I still have power at the end of the day with the screen on. When I turn the screen off, I get somewhere north of 10 hours of power. Ports, there's a micro USB for connecting power and for connecting to the PC. There's a USB port. There's an SD card slot. And there's an HDMI port. There are a headphone jack, and there's a microphone jack, and there's a camera with two lights. Did I cover your question, sir?
Yes, thank you. Up here, over there.
I didn't see it. Question. When you're listening to a podcast or other audio, when the voice speaks, does the volume decrease, or is that an option?
That's an option.
Okay.
You can have the media playback voice at the same level, higher or lower, than the speech from the system itself.
Jerry, what's the price point for the unit?
The price point for the Braille...
I don't know.
The Braille Note Touch 32 is, I always round things up, I've been cautioned, it's $5,495, and I always say, you know, $5,500. The 18 cell is $4,000 minus five. They have a very nice competitive trade-in program that we think will run through the end of this calendar year. They're offering something like $500 trade-in for a 20-cell display or less from any competitive product, and a 40-cell display, or 20 to 40 cells, is probably something like $800, or maybe it's $1,000. If one has a Braille Note Empower, a Braille Note Classic, or an Apex that they want, that one wants to trade in, they're offering $1,500 for a 32-cell unit as a trade-in, whether it's a Classic or an Empower or an Apex. If your Empower or your Apex was purchased before 2014, They just want to see the serial number and a picture of the unit. They don't need the product back.
Oh, even when you trade it in?
As a trade-in, if you have a product that was purchased before 2013 or before 2014, they do not want the product back. They simply want the serial number and a picture of the product. Andrew?
I was just
here's
saying,
the orbit.
That's really fair.
Here's the orbit.
Okay.
No, I want to see that too.
Go ahead, Joanne.
Oh, here you are, Joanne.
Let me get the first one.
Which units did you?
Oh, it's tiny. It's nice, though. That's cute. Wow, that is good.
Other questions?
Yeah, did you say you passed both units around?
I mean, I have significant.
I have sent two units out. I don't know where they are.
Okay, the one that has just a braille display, that's the one without the keyboard, and then the other one.
You see the braille on that one, too.
Correct. You can write braille on both of them. You're just writing virtually on. Excuse me. You're writing on a virtual braille keyboard on the glass.
They could bring that
on the one that does not have the keyboard.
Wow. That's good braille.
Yeah.
You got to wait a second.
That's okay.
That's almost John McCann.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. No, because my sink, my fingers.
Any other vendors in the room yet? Freedom Scientific is here now.
G lower B S H.
Did I hear Freedom Scientific is here? John.
72%.
Oh.
John.
72%.
Freedom Scientific is here.
Oh. Okay. Great. Okay.
Freedom Scientific. You want to come up to the front of the room?
Yeah.
Right here.
Here you go.
Thank you.
So if you folks with the Braille Note Touches, if you can keep your questions very quiet among yourselves or comments so that Freedom Scientific gets to present, and then we can go back to open discussion, I'm sure.
Yeah, something like that, depending on whether other presenters get here too. Okay, we have
Freedom Scientific.
VFO Freedom Scientific?
Yeah. Yes.
You're on.
Good morning. Thank you.
And you are?
I'm Brad Davis, Vice President of
Can you get more on mic?
Hardware.
We need you on
more
the mic.
On mic.
Let's see. We got to
eat the mic. If it, it's
it's just. It is on. Okay. What I'd like to describe to you today is the L-Braille Windows 10 computer working with our Focus 14 Blue Braille display. We have this in the booth. It is a pre-production unit. Actually, it's a production unit of something that is shipping in Europe right now. And we are looking at bringing it into the US. But we will likely make some changes to it before we bring it into the US. And so we would appreciate anybody coming by, putting their hands on it, and giving us some feedback on what you think this device will do for you, and how you'd like us to improve what you're seeing. It runs under Windows 10, comes with a JAWS license, or you can use your existing JAWS license, and comes with Windows Office 2016. And is... It docks to our Focus 14 Braille display with 20 hours of battery life, has an always-on 3G modem. You need to supply a micro SIM card for that. That's a built-in Wi-Fi A, B, G, and N, and Bluetooth version 4. The wireless modem lets you do SMS messaging, data downloads, and make and receive phone calls. The CPU is an Atom Z3740 quad-core, 1.8 gigahertz. It's got 64 gigabytes of internal memory, 2 gigabytes of RAM, and an SD slot for up to 256K of user storage, 256 gigs, sorry. There are six programmable function buttons, so you can have one button dedicated to taking a voice note, going directly to your text, note-taking functions. It's got several apps built in for that, audio listening, things of that nature. Justin will be at our booth. He's got a unit right now. You want to pass that around, Justin? Let people get some.
Absolutely. Let's see. Which way should I start?
Maybe Dave over in the front row here, just across the aisle.
I want to see it. This way?
Yeah. And if you come by, Justin can show you how it undocks, but it is a very compact unit once it's all put together. And one of the benefits of that is you can update your Braille display or update your PC independent of each other, so because they're on different technology curves. So as Moore's Law makes the small PCs more and more powerful, it allows you to upgrade without having to get a new Braille display to go with it. Did I miss any of the features, Justin?
I think it covers it. I guess while it's docked, you could toggle between the use the power 1-2-3 feature on the focus to switch between.
Yes, it does. It
to yourself, to your mobile phone.
Yeah, while it's docked to the. To the L Braille, you can still use the Braille display by Bluetooth to another device, work with your toggle back and forth between the L Braille PC and your smartphone or your desktop.
Yes, please. Oh my goodness. How little.
What is it?
Yes, question in the back.
Can we get a mic?
Wait a minute.
You talk about making some changes to the L Braille before you ship.
Yes.
One of those changes could possibly be more RAM. I think 2 gigs of RAM is running JAWS and Windows 10 seems like the bare minimum. I mean, mm-hmm. It'll probably run, but more is always better.
I would agree.
Just is what it is.
Oh.
Yeah,
I know. I finally figured that out.
It only took me 5 minutes.
Yes, this is Eric from Seattle here. I was wondering, so you guys have a 3G modem here. I was wondering why did you guys go with 3G and not actually support Semaphore and LTE. Of course, LTE is actually the future, so you can have an LTE multi-band modem, as well as, of course, legacy support of 3G and 2.5G services.
Exactly. That is another one of the things we're looking at before bringing it into the U.S. We have to make changes for U.S. compliance anyway, the gentleman had just pointed out two of the
major things,
specs we're trying to increase. Thank you, Eric.
Any other questions?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm just wondering when, it's Susan Thompson here, I'm just wondering when you, when Microsoft upgrades versions of Windows, does this automatically cater for that?
Well, it's a Windows PC, and as far as capable of updating your home PC from Windows 8 to Windows 10, you know, we would expect that you could upgrade the operating system if and when it's necessary.
I actually think Microsoft's plan is that Windows 10 is the last Windows. Like, it's not going to keep, they're going to continuously update Windows 10.
Yeah, they're looking, to, you know, Windows 10 is going to be the embedded workhorse and all that. So, but yeah, we'll accept the Windows 10 upgrades.
They'll improve it, they'll tweak it.
I hope it's going around.
It is going around.
Okay.
Yeah, so
any other? Yes,
no,
in the front.
It's all right, I just wondered.
Mm-hmm. You want to see it now, Andrew?
Whenever
it finishes going around.
Just to make sure I understand, you can buy this unit by itself if you have the Braille display, and if you have JAWS, you can do the same. You can mix or match what you're buying, depending on your needs, is that right?
Yes, it would be a full package with a JAWS and a Braille display, or the device and the Braille display if you already have JAWS, or the device alone if you already have the Braille display and JAWS.
Thank you.
I have a question.
You got a mic, Andrew?
One more in, back there. In the
is there any price point for this yet?
Just that was my question.
Like for the tablet itself, if you already have the other two accessories?
How do you turn it on?
We haven't set a price for the U.S. because we haven't finalized the specs and the configuration that we're going to do. But this is being sold internationally today. It sells in the U.K. for £1,050 or about $1,395.
Get it now after Brexit, you know.
That's without the Braille display.
How do you turn this on?
Yeah, how do you turn it on?
Justin can turn it on for you. They're right to your right.
Yeah.
Only a Freedom Scientist.
Now, and we had a question up here on the panel.
There's a little question.
Andrea, well, she said her.
I just want to see it.
Press and hold that.
Oh, that was
she had
question.
A question, but he trumped it.
Yeah.
He trumped it.
Yeah, he trumped it.
Okay.
You said the T word.
I don't think you're all going to be able to drive it here, but Justin's going to be at our booth through Wednesday. And we would encourage you to just sit down at your leisure and take it for a drive. And Justin can answer all your questions one-on-one about navigation and the onboard apps.
You guys remember you're at the court.
What?
It's got a USB port, so you can connect a QWERTY keyboard to it, or you could connect a Bluetooth keyboard to it as well. Yes.
Is there anything custom about the Windows 10, or could you do, say, Windows 10 updates normally like you would on any other computer?
You could do Windows 10 updates. It will take updates, yeah.
We have the Focus 14 Blue Braille display. This is different, I mean, because it's a computer. Can you upgrade that 14 Braille display? You just have to buy a new unit?
This is compatible with the current
Focus
14 Braille displays.
It docks directly to it.
It was designed around the Focus 14.
But to get the JAWS to work with it, you know, you have to buy a new unit to work with the Braille display. Is that right?
It doesn't come with the Braille display. You have to have your own.
Yeah, it's a separate, it can, but
it's essentially a docking station.
Oh. Docking, you're going to use your existing Focus 14. You're going to use your existing one.
Or you could buy one. Well,
you could. No need to if you've already got one, presumably.
Right.
Yeah, it's a dock.
So it comes in those three different configurations, with or without JAWS, with or without JAWS.
I see sights flying everywhere.
Somebody didn't have enough coffee this morning.
Yes.
So once, you know, when you have the Braille display in there and you have JAWS running, so it's really like a fully operating laptop.
Yes.
Did you guys
Oh. I see. Yeah, now I get it. And what was the price on the docking station?
We have not set a U.S. price yet. It is selling in the U.K. right now for £1,050, which is about
$1,395. Now, why is it selling over there and not here yet?
It was developed overseas, and there are some supply chain issues and compliance issues.
And there may be some more.
And as we look at it, as we look at what we need to do for the compliance issues, we're saying we might as well make some other enhancements to it before bringing it here.
I see.
But this is our opportunity to get some more feedback on what we ought to do with it as you put your hands on it throughout the
show. You got to take it up from 2G. 2 gigs. I mean, 2 gigs is anemic. I guess the one gentleman.
Yeah, it's a bit of a pump. Yeah. Okay. It looks like we're going to have to undock it here, just so people know how to.
I'll keep it for 3 more hours if you want.
Yeah. Here, let me take it out of the brown and black.
So you want to take it out off the docking?
Yeah, we'll just show you how the two pieces fit together.
Okay.
You always want to shut it down before you take it out of the dock.
So what is it you're doing? You're rebooting it?
No, we're turning it off to take it out of the...
Let me give you back this case. I guess they don't have to have the cases.
We're down.
But it needs a docking station to act with the note taker.
Guys in control of finishing this out.
What's the memory of it now? I mean, since it's just not a Braille display, or is it still just a Braille display?
It's still just a Braille display.
I guess it's still just a Braille display. It's not a note
taker. You know what? If people start to stay away, they're on their own.
It's really too bad.
There's a little pigtail that comes out of the L rail that goes into the USB port of the Focus 14.
You guys can come.
And then there are two retention brackets that go into the slots that go in that are used when you put the Focus 14 into its case. If any of you are familiar with the Focus 14 in the case, but let me pass these around now.
It's going to go till about 3:30. We're not going to have
this.
There are less
vendors
here.
Oh, so
it doesn't have a.
It's a horrible
form.
It is. It's just the display itself. That has all the docking station has all the hardware, like the processor, the memory. The display is.
Can I just ask quick? Do we have any other vendors in the room? Guys, do we have any other vendors in the room? Hims or National Braille Press, are you here? Okay. Well, then we'll just go ahead and
okay. Everybody's trying these things.
Yes. Terry?
Yeah.
Do you want to get this back to
Tom, forget what I said. You can't have one.
Yes. I would like to see. Okay, so this is where my focus is.
Second one just cuts all power. It's just dead.
So wait.
So
the focus will
be. Yeah, but you can't just.
Okay, I don't want that. I actually work for one of these vendors, so I would like to see it. Okay, I lifted it up actually and then I set it over. So what's plugged in?
You get out of the show tomorrow and you'll figure it out.
I can't believe these. I milked it.
It's just the USB port that you normally use to connect your Braille display to your computer.
Oh, gosh.
Same USB port.
No, this thing that's sticking out.
Yeah, that's going into the USB port.
On the Focus?
Yes.
Or on the L-rail?
Yeah, I know.
It comes from the L-rail.
I should have put the Focus.
Yeah,
what's
required.
When you
required,
have the Focus
yeah,
logged in there, it's sticking out.
That's because we missed it.
Okay. Now well, the only good thing about it is I can only now it's in. The thing is, you don't see it. I got you. So that's the connection. But when you have
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's got it's got a USB port out.
Not a lot, but you're starting
to Jerry? Thank you very much for talking by. I'm really glad to meet you.
Well,
yes,
like the
Don't never have that problem with you, I think.
Yeah. Vendor showcase.
Thank you. I already have a
When I got in the travel business, I didn't realize I'd have to get a dental license. It's like pulling teeth to get money to my
Well, yeah, I did that, put the whole thing on it because it was a 0%. Because
yeah,
I knew
right.
We were going to use Tom's IRO or my IRO. Come up with a tax card. Well, look at he's not going to be here 7 months.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Did we have contact information for
We
got two that never came.
We only have 20 minutes left, so we have to call right now.
Actually, I think it's...
Oh, great. I didn't realize that. I went to the second quarter.
No, Tom, I think it's fine.
No.
I can do it here.
Good. Don't put it over the microphone.
We tried.
Yeah. No, we confirmed with them. I don't know why they
didn't thank you.
But if the board members or whatever...
Kim's was supposed
anyway.
To be Andy Leach.
I'm going to make that general announcement about membership if anybody wants.
Yes, go ahead, go. See me too. Richard left the room.
Oh,
he's
I didn't
not here?
No, he's not here, but I'll take your name.
You know what? Oh,
Richard, that's all right. Yeah.
I don't know what Tom's
going
to be on his grill as well.
Well,
what's wrong with me? Want to get a new one?
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all very much for having popped by and hope you're enjoying this new grill discussion. Sorry we didn't get everybody that we planned, but. For those of you who would like to like what they see here and have yet to join us, we'd be delighted to have you. Our preference, really, would be to have you pass through PayPal. However, we can collect your dollars and get it's $15 to join for, you're actually 20. but 15 for Lightning. I want to thank everyone who has come by, and we're glad to have you. Unfortunately, we didn't get everybody that we were hoping for. This is kind of unusual, but we will keep working. Thank you.
So we're dismissed for now.
Tom, should you see the Adrian's note taker? Are you thinking about buying a note taker, Tom?
So we've adjourned until
1:00. I'm against
1:30. 1:30 in the same room, you guys, for the vendor showcase. Same room, Lake Harriet.
What vendors are coming into this afternoon?
Quite a few. I
somebody would like those times repeated on my
1:30 today for the vendor showcase.
It's fine.
We'll be having our vendor showcase this afternoon right here in the same room.
And if you want to pay dues, where's Mr. Richard?
He's not here, but I'll take your name and information.
To help you. And thank you very much, folks.
No, they're not. Dues are not included in the package. Just so people
correct.
Know.
That's correct.
Dues are not included in the package.
That is correct.